Mike Dempsey. Look, I hear from people all the time who are having tax problems, but don't be afraid of the IRS. Right now, you can talk or meet with local professionals that are here to help your specific tax issues. Accelerate your tax solution with Accelerated Tax Solutions.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, that's a Hall of Fame anthem. I don't think anyone would argue that, even though they are a little bit of a one-hit wonder. Good to be back in Duval after, a long time in the Canton-Akron parts. Kind of cool, kind of old school, you know, which I miss. I kind of like older towns, you know. You see an old gas station or convenience store or whatever. There's not too many left. I saw a few in Asheville. That was cool. Yeah, but everything now is remodeled. Everything today is rebuilt. Just look at this town. Look at this city. Unbelievable. Coming through Racetrack, coming through Phillips Highway, out in the Bayard section. I mean, there's building everywhere. You head out to where the Jags are practicing at Episcopal. You go downtown. The continuous building happens right here along the First Coast. All right, good to have you with us. Going to be a sensational week. Really no other way to say it. A little bit of a reflection with Tony Boselli in the Hall of Fame. It was just incredible. Thoroughly enjoyed the entire experience. So happy for Tony. And, you know, next up is Fred, along with Frank and Jeff and Dan. We were on a shuttle with Fred, and, you know, we were all talking to him about a lot of different things. Of course, with those three knuckleheads, they were talking more Gator than Jaguar material, particularly the 96 and 97 season. So the only problem for me is I didn't have a cocktail with me on the shuttle. I needed one at that particular time. But Fred's in next. I think it's 3 years. This is going to be a tough ballot for him because I think you're going to get three first ballot Hall of Famers. I really believe that when you look at Revis Island and you look at Joe Thomas and you look at Dwight Freeney. I think those three are in. I think a receiver is in. Heard a lot of talk about, you know, maybe Zach Thomas or something along those lines, Ronnie Barber. So anyway, we'll see what ends up happening. I do think it's going to take at least 2, if not 3 years, but hopefully that's the case. We'll be back there with Fred Taylor in Canton, Ohio. Don't know if you necessarily need that fourth week, that fourth game, if you will. And, you know, there's still a little bit of talk about what actually did transpire this past Thursday night. Jacksonville looked, I thought, physically totally outmatched by the Raiders, who have taken advantage of an extra week to practice. We all know Jacksonville only got in pads twice. And, you know, you're down 20-0. It was 44 to 22 plays in the first 30 minutes of football. Yeah, they played a little bit better in the second half, but I would absolutely expect much better things coming up this Friday against Cleveland. Of course, Doug Peterson has not committed to whether or not Trevor Lawrence is going to play. Doug spoke before practice yesterday. We did hear from Trevor Lawrence after practice today. So we'll relive that a little bit as well. It was a very good practice today. All right. Unfortunately, I missed the best practice of training camp, and it was really, you know, I knew it was coming because at Boselli's party, which was in this phenomenal barn, it was just, about as good as you could have imagined. And, you know, Peterson did fly home with his team. Trent Baalke did fly home with his team on Thursday night. And my understanding is that on Saturday afternoon, they flew back down or I guess it would have been very early on Saturday morning. They flew back up for Boselli's, you know, enshrinement into the Hall of Fame, and then they were at the party. So I was talking to Doug Peterson for a couple of minutes, and I said, yeah, you know, I don't get back until late on Sunday, so I'll miss Sunday's workout. Looking forward to next week, though, Monday. He just looked at me and said, you're going to miss some popping. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, we are going to hit on Sunday, and it's going to be the liveliest practice to date. And he just kind of smiled at me, and I was like, oh, man, I wish they would do that on Monday, because obviously I would have loved to have seen it. But my understanding is that the practice on Sunday was spectacular, and it was a very good effort for the defense and the hitting that was going on. The offense as well at times did their part. Probably the most talked about storyline that came out of there was the hit that Andre Sisco had again on Travis Etienne, and how the coaches would love to see Etienne run out of bounds, and hopefully he is going to do that. Etienne wanted some contact, and he spoke on that. You know, when I got up with Dabo Swinney at the Atlantic Coast Conference football meetings a few weeks ago in Charlotte, he accurately reminded us that Etienne has never been hurt, okay? I mean, look at all the carries. Look at all the touches he had at Clemson. The guy never got hurt. And Trevor Lawrence, after practice today, echoed the exact same thing. As a matter of fact, can we play that? That's number seven, JJ. It's almost identical to what Dabo Swinney said to me when I interviewed him, 3 weeks ago at the Atlantic Coast Conference meetings. Today, it is Trevor Lawrence basically saying the same thing about Etienne.
Obviously, Travis had the injury, but Travis, like, when we were in college, I mean, the guy was never hurt, took some shots. I feel like he's always popping back up. It was just good the next day, all that. So I'm not really too concerned, but he broke one on the sideline. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, ooh, and he gets hit on the sideline. I'm like, oh, gosh. So I told him, just step out right there. We don't need that right now. But he said he wanted to get popped. You know, he hadn't been hit in a while, so he'll be all right. He's tough.
Appreciate that by Trevor Lawrence, the honesty there, because Yeah, I don't know how these players are wired. They're not wired like we are. I understand fans, you're going to hold your breath a little bit. Members of the media, especially those who are Jaguar fans, or for any team that is, that there's a guy that you're wondering about health-wise, that's the normal reaction. But the guys who are in the trenches, I got to believe that for the most part, that is not the way that they are feeling. But yeah, I think it's a solid scenario to have that happen with Travis Etienne. I really struggle with, you know, the whole bubble wrap theory compared to just go out and play, because you never know. I mean, look at today, Christian Kirk nearly pulled off a Ted Ginn. Remember when it was Ohio State? Florida, of course you Gator fans remember, but you had the initial, was it a kick return or was it a punt return? I can't remember.
I think it was a kick return to start the game.
Was it the opening kick? All right, Ted Ginn goes, scores, Buckeyes up 6-0, and a bunch of his teammates jump all over him. One guy rolls an ankle, Ted Ginn's gone for the game. Well, today Christian Kirk was celebrating a great play, and he rolled his ankle. Now, reportedly, it's very minor. Yeah, it's not going to be an issue. You hope it's not going to be an issue. But again, you just never know. And I don't want to name drop here. I hate to do that, but before the game and during the 40-minute delay, Sal Palantonio is a guy who comes on quite a bit, and I was really excited about a lot of things he had to say about how much he enjoys coming on in Duval. But we were going back and forth, and he was saying, you can't play key guys on this field, on this turf, with the rain that's happening right now. What if you go out there and you tear up an ankle? What if you go out there and you tear up an ACL? And, you know, every coach has a different feeling on this. I got to imagine every general manager has a different feeling on this. Certainly you as a fan has a different feeling on this. I've really struggled to separate getting guys reps against other opponents compared to, we've seen enough in practice, save him for opening day when the Jaguars play in the District of Columbia. To me, it's one of the hardest things to try to do. Travis Etienne wants to play Friday night. Trevor Lawrence wants to play Friday night. All right. When are you going to play him? How much do you play him? What if they struggle? What if the game plan absolutely fizzles out? I mean, one of the biggest issues I had with Saturday night, or make that Thursday night, was Ryan Santoso got two shots. Okay, he kicked off, and it was a touchback, and then he kicked a 60-yarder. And they gave Fry the second half. Now, Jacksonville couldn't move the ball, so you can't blame the kicker. And I got to believe Heath Farwell said, all right, Santoso, you get the first half. Fry, you get the second half. You look back, the kid got one opportunity, a 60-yarder. I was hoping he was going to get three or four opportunities. I was hoping he was going to make a 45-yarder, then turn right around and kick off. So you could have gotten a two-for-one, a field goal, and then an opportunity for a touchback. But it was blown away. Santoso today actually had a good day, 5 of 6. He missed the last kick of practice, so it ended on a little bit of a sour note. But, you know, I think Santoso is the guy as far as the kicking position is concerned. And, you know, all of a sudden special teams, you know what you have with Logan Cook. You look at Jamal Agnew today, watched him run a reverse. He was fully involved in the offense on 11-on-11. So that was good to see. James Robinson today for the first time, as his workload continues to increase. He did some first-team offense today that was on their own, okay? No defense on the other side during these particular drills, or, you know, just with the first-team offense. But, again, we've seen the progression of James Robinson. I mean, when camp started, the guy was running in a straight line. Then all of a sudden we saw cutting. Then we saw him work on the big bag as far as pass protection, where Travis Etienne really struggled today. And I wouldn't be too alarmed. I don't think they're going to ask Travis Etienne to be a guy that is going to pass protect, you know, against a blitzing linebacker. I think that that's James Robinson, and I think that that's going to be Snoop Connor. But if you can find a deficiency in the game of Etienne, we saw that today. Later in practice, he did have a decent protection, but he was blown away earlier in both reps. So, you know, with Robinson, then we saw him catching balls, and now we see that move forward once again by being able to do some things with the first team offense. All right, also today, some cramping. Marvin Jones Jr. came off the field. He was cramping. Devon Hamilton walked right in front of us, being escorted out by a trainer. Cramping. Cam Robinson at one point left, and then he came back. You can make the case that Cam Robinson, I mean, if you were ranking offensive players, you can make the case Cam Robinson is one of the two or three best players so far in camp offensively. I mean, obviously Etienne, obviously Trevor. Yeah, I'd like to put Kirk in there. I think Brandon Sheriff has got to be in there. But Cam Robinson is on that list. I mean, he has lived up to the money, and I know that that's foolish to say because it's camp. Why not enjoy it for what it is? What if I was sitting here saying, oh, my God, the guy got the bag and he looks terrible. He's out of shape. He's getting beaten by Walker. He's getting beaten by Allen. He's getting beaten by everyone. No. He is doing a fantastic job in pass protection. He's a young guy. Who knows? Maybe he wants to play for a second, or in this case, a third contract. I mean, what if all of a sudden the light goes on for Cam Robinson? Again, I'm putting the cart ahead of the horse a little bit, but I'm just calling it the way that I see it. I think he's had a really good camp so far. Let's see. Chenault was on the sideline again today. Limited. Fatakase back. And certainly he is going to be a presence inside. So, you know, that's basically it as far as the health of this football team is concerned. I thought today was the best practice I've ever seen Zay Jones have. I've heard an awful lot about his route running, and I witnessed it today. He ran a variety of different routes. He got separation from any one of the defensive backs that he was going up against, and Trevor had the ball right where it was supposed to be. So the combination of going out and running the right play, showing perfect hands, having speed, and maybe now arguably the fastest wide receiver. I'm sure Jamal Agnew may argue we did there, but arguably the fastest wide receiver on this team, and Lawrence getting him the ball, it was, again, a very good thing to see today. And the reason why I'm kind of highlighting some of these offensive plays is that it really feels like the defense at this point is ahead of the offense, okay? I think there's more improvement on that side of the ball. You go to red zone today, and, you know, you look at 7-on-7 and 11-on-11, even though Trevor Lawrence is doing a really good job, especially when the defense shows blitzes and things along those lines. Lawrence, the maturation is evident that he's able to get rid of the football and he's finding open receivers. So that's very encouraging. But I still feel as though the defense at this particular time is ahead of the offense. We'll see if that changes. They're off tomorrow. We get out there on Wednesday. And then, of course, you got game number two, this time at home, beginning at 7 o'clock, coming up against Cleveland. All right, we're very busy tonight. On the other side, we got much to do on the Jags, including a quick interview that I did with Rayshon Jenkins. All right, a lot of talk about that secondary. Shaq made a big play today. Tyson Campbell has been arguably the best defensive player in camp so far. Andre Sisco is turning a lot of heads. The early book on him is that he's living up to that advanced billing and still trying to figure out why he did not play more as a rookie. Rayshon Jenkins, in a lot of circles, may be considered the Achilles heel of this defense. But you know what? I think he's had a pretty decent camp. I do, and I caught up with him a little bit earlier today. Also, NFL insider Adam Kaplan took in practice today. He's on his way to Tampa. He's going to join me coming up at 7 o'clock, so we are going to be busy with Jaguar football here over the next couple of hours. As always, the drill here during training camp, any question at all that you have on the Jags, 641-1010 on the text line that's brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. So if I don't know the answer, I'll find it out. But anything that you want, anything that is on your mind with the Jags, this is the place to do it right here on our text line. Again, that's 641-1010. Brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. All right, let's kick it off by bringing in our good friends from Shmunez Vision, who always provide us with opening comments. Dr. Neil Shmunez, a good friend of mine. I've known him forever. We're talking about 37 years worth of experience. They're a family organization. You know, he sent me a text the other day of an 80-year-old lady who listens regularly to the program, to Into the Night. I wasn't aware of that. She had lost contact with Dr. Shmunez when he used to work for a company here in town. She heard the ad and she phoned him, and now she's back with him. People want to go to Dr. Shmunez because of his special care and the way that he handles all of his patients. They're not patients; they're basically friends, and it's incredible. It's such a great organization. They focus on personal, high quality medical, surgical eye care. Dr. Catherine Shmunez, fellowship trained in cornea, cataract surgery, all refractive surgery. And I'm in the press box. I'm looking into my left. I'm looking to my right. I see people squint, and I see people, what number is that? You know, you're driving home at night. You know, the rain's going to come at any moment here in Duval. Forget about it. Imagine being a candidate for laser eye surgery. Imagine never having readers again, never having to deal with contacts again. You could be a candidate. Just give them a call and find out. It's one of the many things that they are known for over at Shmunez Vision. 299-2906. Go to shmunezvision.com. Care you can see. JJ, are you telling us again that we are on YouTube? How do the listeners get us?
Yes, after a couple days being off of YouTube because you were in Canton, Ohio, we are back.
No YouTube in Canton, by the way.
Apparently no internet access. Yes. So just go to 1010XL's YouTube page. It's simple. Go to YouTube, search 1010XL. It'll be the first video that pops up. We're live. Check us out, send us a chat, and enjoy.
Awesome. Yes, we look forward to that. All right, we got a lot to do. Let's kick off the week with JJ. I'm Rick Ballew. This is Into the Night.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, if you want to win a bar bet, this will be the song to use. Pink Floyd, Have a Cigar. It's the only Pink Floyd song where you don't hear from Syd Barrett, David Gilmour, or Roger Waters. I don't even remember who sang it. Reportedly, the story goes, is neither one wanted to sing it. They were in a studio somewhere. They went down to like another studio, found a guy, and he came out and provided the vocals. So, it's Roy Harper was his name. And I guess the Great Gig in the Sky with a female singer who many thought was like all sorts of different women, including Olivia Newton-John, I even heard rumored.
Oh, rest in peace.
Who died today. I heard, what, Grace Slick? I mean, there was all sorts of women involved in the that rumor during Dark Side of the Moon. But anyway, yeah, rest in peace. Olivia Newton-John, cancer sucks. What was she, 72, 73? This is way too young. I really haven't heard a peep out of her in like 20 years. I mean, she just kind of went away, right? Her music went away. As an actress, she just kind of went away.
I got to make a confession. Outside of Grease, I'm not really familiar with anything she's ever done. I'm sure if I like heard one of her hits, I would immediately know it.
You don't remember her in the leotard and Physical?
Let's get
getting fat asses off the couch and Lazy Boy, men and women alike.
So that's her song?
Because of Olivia Newton-John.
Okay,
hell yeah,
then I know
Liz.
Her.
Let's get physical,
one.
Physical. Let's get physical. I mean, here we are talking about great lyrics of Pink Floyd. How about the lyrics of Olivia Newton-John? Let's get physical, physical.
Gotta get physical.
Right.
Physical.
Get on your feet. Let's get physical. Oh, yeah. From Cambridge of the United Kingdom.
Oh, she's from the UK.
Oh, yeah.
This is what I hate about that they can do our impression flawlessly in the movies and TV, as singing. But it's like if I went over and tried to do a British film, I would so clearly be out of place. Have you ever seen Ocean's 11?
I saw one of them. One of the Oceans. I don't know if I saw it. Didn't they make a bunch of them?
They made a few.
Yeah.
But there's a famous character in that movie played by Don Cheadle who's supposed to be British.
Ah.
And he has like a fake British accent in the whole movie, and it's horrendous. That's the only time I could think of one.
After Grease, she made Xanadu, Two of a Kind, A Mom for Christmas, A Christmas Romance, which I imagine you can still see all these on Lifetime Channel. It's My Party, Sordid Lives, The Wild Girls, In a Minute, Score, a hockey musical.
So was she like a big sex symbol back in the day?
Huge.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Farrah Fawcett would have been the one, but she had a little bit of a cleaner image, you know what I mean? Kind of like the one that you want to bring home to mom and dad. And
Girl Next Door.
Then she went totally rogue at the end of Grease.
With the black outfit.
Yeah, she put on like the black Batman suit or Batwoman suit.
Love that.
Threw in a Chesterfield. And was chasing down Travolta. But, I mean, Grease was sensational. It was a great movie. But I honestly don't remember doing anything else outside of that. But anyway, she has passed on. We're losing way, way too many people. All right. I don't usually like to brown nose. It's just not my style. Okay. But I got to give it up for the Jag fans who made it to Canton, Ohio. And I rubbed elbows with a lot of them. Very impressive. And, you know, I put it on Twitter and some social media, and, of course, I get the obligatory, well, what do you expect? You know, they played a game there. What do you expect? It was the first, you know, recipient of the Jaguars. Who cares? They still made the trip. The airports were a disaster. And, you know, that's commonplace every single day. I really feel for you people who travel all the time for your job. It just, I mean, I was amazed that we made it from here to Akron with no delay on the way there. That was a shock to me. I expected it. You know, way back yesterday, you know, we had a four-hour layover. And the only problem is my girlfriend's out running and ripping with her girlfriends. Okay? So, hey, I'm available all week, ladies. Just text me here, 641-1010 on the text line. Let's go out. Let's do some partying. Let's have a good time. Because she's running and ripping at somewhere out on, I don't know, Naples or somewhere. But I got a four-hour layover in Charlotte, which is fine. But here's the deal. I can't drink because I dropped my vehicle off at USA Park, and I'm not going to have anything to drink at all and get behind the key GMC Sierra that literally says DUI right on the side door.
You weren't like, I'll have like seven and then I'll sober up on this plane.
Nope, I didn't even have one.
This plane's definitely going to sober me up.
No. I mean, typically a four-hour layover, fine.
Did you bring a book?
Find me a bar. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I read a book and a half.
There's only so much Twittering you can scroll.
Yeah,
through.
I
hate it.
But, I mean, traveling is, and Donna did a great job. Donna Murphy did a phenomenal job. We got back at like 7:30 last night, but, I saw a ton of Jaguar fans.
Looked like that on TV.
Yeah. They're at the game, at the Hall of Fame, and then again in the airport. So, and that was Charlotte. I'm sure they connected in Atlanta and some other places as well. So shout out there to the fans. And, you know, hopefully you're back during a couple of years. I think Tom Coughlin and Fred Taylor, all within a 2 to 4 year period would be my guess. Jimmy Smith is going to take a little bit longer just because it's a numbers game with wide receivers. It's not at running back, and Fred deserves to be there. You look at his 4.6 yards per carry. I mean, it's right there with Jim Brown. It's right there with Barry Sanders. It's right there with Adrian Peterson, who I guess is not officially retired. Did they ever fight? When is that? Did that get canceled?
I forgot about
it. Wasn't he supposed to fight Le'Veon Bell or something like that?
Definitely hasn't gotten canceled. It just hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
July 3rd. Or maybe it got pushed back.
We definitely would have heard about it.
July 30th has passed, so.
Okay, I guess they didn't fight.
No.
All these fights are going to cancel.
Oh, here we go, postponed.
Oh.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll watch it.
Will you?
I don't know.
I haven't found myself watching any of these athlete fights. They just don't. It makes me sad that like these guys are having to do this.
I was asked about the... I was talking with Justin Barney today because as far as the local media, not a lot of folks cover the MMA. Charlie Jimerson and I go every year when Dana White and, the UFC rolls through, and Barney covers it as well for television. And I asked him if he watched the fights on Saturday night, and I didn't because I was obviously in Ohio. I was at Baselli's party, but he asked me if I watched the Nunes fight a couple weeks ago, and I didn't. And I was like, I'm not a huge fan of watching women fight. And I've said it before, and I've had people call me, oh, come on, Baloo, you know, expand your horizon.
Be more progressive.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, listen, I love everything about women, but I'm not a big fan of watching them fight. I don't know how it happens, but on my Twitter and stuff, like these street fights pop up on my feed
God.
All the time.
Constantly.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that's the deal now. There's a fight. And
someone records it.
Instead of anyone breaking it up, you got 75 people filming it. And, you know, I'm a normal dude. If there's a couple of guys throwing hands, all right, I'll stick for a little bit and I'll watch it. But whenever they get to girls fighting, I'm like, screw that. I have no interest. None.
You like what you like.
I don't want to watch women fight. I just don't.
I couldn't agree more.
And I'm not trying to diminish them as athletes and say that, you know, it's not good for the sport. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's not my deal. But anyway. All right, let's hear from Rayshon Jenkins. Why don't we do that? Rayshon Jenkins.
What's your first question? Do you watch women's fights? Go.
Rayshon Jenkins, after practice today, he returns for his second season. Had an opportunity to ask him a couple of questions after the Jaguars' Monday morning workout.
Here with Rayshon Jenkins. All right, a couple weeks of training camp now with Mike Caldwell's defense. How's it going?
Very fun. Very fun. very electrifying and challenging as well. So it keeps, you know, vets steadying their playbooks, but it's going to pay off. It's definitely going to pay off in the long run.
I stayed back in Canton and saw Doug Peterson on Saturday night at Tony Baselli's Hall of Fame party, and said, unfortunately, I wasn't going to make Sunday's practice. He said, you're going to miss something. There's going to be a lot of tackling, a lot of popping. I guess I missed the best practice of the year yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We were out there, man. He said it was live, and our defense. One thing about our defense, man, we have dogs across the board. So once you say live and you really get us going, man, that's what you're going to get from us. That's what you're going to get from us, especially I know he was saying big hits. You know, we had DBs coming from out of the middle of the field to hit, corners hitting. So we were physical yesterday.
This is a defining moment of every camp. Was that it yesterday?
Yeah, I will say that was it. And I appreciate him even letting us do that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because we need that every once in a while. You don't want to wait until the game to finally get to, you know, hit somebody.
Right.
But, man, that was fun. It was a defining moment. And all we can do is, you know, build from that. We know what it's supposed to look like now. So we're going to try to emulate that every time.
Last one for you. Year two for Andre Sisco. He's the guy next to you this year.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen so far?
He's coming here and gotten better every single day. You know, every single day he's gotten better. Whether that be in the meeting rooms, on the field, everything. You know, he's a young professional, and that is something I can appreciate, especially coming from a younger guy. I think Cisco's like 22, 21 years old, so I'm 28, so that you see the age difference there. I mean, not too much, but an older guy like me really does appreciate, you know, guys really coming here and attacking every day like that.
Thank you, Rayshon.
Thank you.
Rayshon Jenkins in his second season, safety for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's the second highest paid player on the team. This year, his cap number is $9,911,000, only behind Shaq Griffin at $16,441,000. You know, it's really interesting. If you look at the top three defensive signings a year ago, whether you like it or dislike it, because I know there's a lot of criticism that's gone with some of these signings, including this year with Christian Kirk. I think Trent Baalke and the staff has done a really good job, because you can't look at the years and money. You have to look at the guaranteed money, and you have to look at the dead cap money. This is basically it for Shaq, Rayshon, and Roy Robertson-Harris. I think all three will be released at the end of the year unless they have very good seasons to the point where you're like, I don't care. Let's bring them back. But you couldn't release them this year. The dead cap money, again, would have been over $42 million if you cut all three. Next year, you release them, it's less than $10 million. So I think we'd agree that those three need to get much better. Shaq made a couple of nice plays today during 7-on-7, during 11-on-11. Rayshon Jenkins, obviously a year ago, was inconsistent, and he's having a decent camp. Roy Robertson-Harris, I haven't seen him as much from him, you know, probably because today was the third padded practice. Unfortunately, I missed Sunday traveling back from Ohio. All right, thoughts on that? 641-1010 on the text line, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. Great to have you with us. It's a Monday edition along with JJ. My name is Rick Ballew. Let's go into the night.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Olivia Newton-John gone at 73, passed earlier today. 1 year to the date that we lost Bobby Bowden, who passed at 91. Wow. Bobby Bowden. Hard to believe it was a year.
I was about to say, it doesn't seem nearly that long ago.
Mm-mm. Yeah, time's flying. I mean, I don't care what anyone says. Back to lyrics. I think one of the greatest lyrics of all time is talked about Greg Ginn in the Sky from Dark Side of the Moon. The song time, when they say, every year is getting shorter, you never seem to find the time. It's freaking true. Even during COVID, it felt like time was rapid. That's why I have such a difficult time with the people who can't get through the days, the weeks, and the months where you don't have football. I mean, it's enjoy it. And enjoy the off season, because before you know it, man, it's here again.
Go to the beach with your family.
Find a girlfriend. Okay? I mean, I just, every year I just look at these people and I'm like, what? Now, listen, I just totally embraced and saluted Jaguar fans for making it to Canton. But on the flip side, you football fans out there, I'm not saying Jag fans, I'm saying football fans in general, who can't get through February, March, April, May, and June, that you'd literally give up those months just to get here, you got some serious issues. I know we talked about doing it, I got away from it. I think next year I'm going to start like a little segment in a course about things that you can do from the time that the Super Bowl ends and up until when training camp begins.
Learn to drive a stick.
Not bad. First thing I'm going to say to you, get a girlfriend, okay? I mean, it's amazing. I mean, there's all sorts of fun things that you can do, you know? To hold hands, go to the beach.
Whisper sweet nothings in each other's ear.
Slow dancing.
Fast dancing.
All right. In my case, find one who doesn't like to drink. Play the role of designated driver. All right.
Make her drive me everywhere.
I always drive
That's
there.
A blast.
I always drive there. Then I start consuming. She can drive home. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? It's May. I need... Man, I mean, it's been a year since Bowden passed. You got to be kidding me. I thought it was like 6 months ago. It's been a year. Wow. Just shocking to me, honestly. All right, we're getting ready to bring in our good buddy Adam Kaplan. He was in today. I see Adam, you know, I used to see him on the road all the time. And he took in Jaguars practice today. Real quick, though, before I do that, I want to take a minute away from the Jags. Because today, the preseason USA Today Top 25 Coaches poll was released. And this is another thing that I love as well, is you'll have talk show hosts all across the country right now who will look at this poll, and then their immediate response is, they shouldn't even come out with these polls. They're meaningless. I mean, you don't know anything about what's going on until mid-October. Okay. I got you there. But the Noles have been practicing for a couple of weeks. The Gators have been practicing for a couple of weeks. The Canes have been practicing for a couple of weeks. The Dogs have been practicing for a couple of weeks. Barely mentioned them. Okay? They are so far in the back seat compared to the Jaguars. So when you come forward with a poll like this, at least it gives a little bit of attention to the sport of college football, because the NFL reigns supreme. Every single day, there is a dozen or so topics that you can get into in the NFL. College football is almost fringe nowadays in a lot of markets. And I think of the years that I've done radio here in Jacksonville, and college football, you know, was so important and so big. And I get it. The teams right now in this state are really struggling. You just replace two coaches, and you got a third who's clearly on the hot seat. What does Norvell have to do? Win 7 or 8 games in order to save his job? But college football should do more things like this. I don't know what, but releasing a poll today on the 8th day of August, yeah. I mean, you've got 11 games this month. We got that. What is the big
Week 0 matchup?
Northwestern.
Illinois or Indiana?
Is it Northwestern Nebraska?
Yes, that is it.
Yeah.
Big 10 matchup to start us off in Week 0. I mean, who's not ready for that?
You got the Noles against Duquesne on the 27th. Florida State's lost like what? 4 straight openers? 5 straight openers? Right? They got a chance to go 1-0. When's the last time you were able to say that? Was it the Ole Miss game with Jameis? How about the Oklahoma State year? I went to that game at Jerry's place. Was that on opening day? I honestly don't even remember. But for what it's worth, all right, Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson. And again, the other great thing about this topic is people will say, hey, didn't Georgia just win the national title? Isn't Georgia number one? Shouldn't Georgia begin the year ranked number one? There's people out there who believe it. I think that's foolish, but there are people who subscribe to that theory. Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, Notre Dame. Without tapping myself on the back, those are the exact four teams that I mentioned when we had this conversation about 6 weeks ago. I said, I'll take those four teams. I'll give you the field. And the national title is going to go from those four teams. You got 130 teams in college football. Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, and Clemson. That's it. Notre Dame's ranked fifth. No shot of winning a national title. They don't have team speed. I know they're having a great recruiting class under Marcus Freeman so far this year. They don't have the speed. Michigan at six, please. They blew their top a year ago. Texas A&M at seven, huh? Texas A&M has never won anything. They won one national title in like 1937, for crying out loud. Utah? They play here at Florida, right? Or does Florida go there?
It's here.
Okay. Utah? Oklahoma. How about the controversy there? My goodness. With was it Cale Gundy?
Mike Gundy. It wasn't Mike Gundy. No. I believed it was Mike Gundy for about 4 hours to start my day, and I'm like, why isn't this a bigger story? And then I'm like, oh, okay.
But he had been there forever. He played quarterback there, and, you know, he picked up here's a shocker. One of his players wasn't paying attention. You trying to tell me those Generation Z kids don't pay attention? So he picked up the phone, or what was it, an iPad?
iPad.
And read what was there, and apparently he read something that he absolutely positively cannot say, and he resigned because of it.
Didn't even know Mike had a brother. It is his brother, by the way.
Baylor at 10. And look at all these pretenders. Oak State at 11. Oregon at 12. The Devin Leary-led NC State Wolfpack at 13. Michigan State 14. USC 15. Pitt at 16. Miami at 17. Texas 18. Wake Forest at 19. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not your mom and dad's Wake Forest. Okay, Sam Hartman under center. Wake Forest. Wake Forest, like, beats the living snot out of my school. I mean, it's so freaking depressing. How does Wake Forest...
They've averaged, like, 50 points against you guys.
Wake Forest will, like, show... It doesn't matter where you play. You can play right here in the parking lot on Hogan Road. And Wake Forest will get out of here with a 38-14 win. It's freaking Wake Forest. It's unbelievable. It's maddening. Wisconsin, Kentucky, Cincy, Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Houston. So there you go. Your top 25 is out, according to the coaches.
And just to clean things up, it was 2016 since the last time. Like you said, Florida State has won an opener. Of course, that was against Ole Miss. DeAndre Francois, 2 touchdowns, 419 yards that game. Against Swag Kelly. Who can forget him?
Where is he? Is he behind bars somewhere?
Oh, my God. I think that he was in the league.
That's
for
Jim
like
Kelly's
a
nephew.
Oh, he plays for the Toronto Argonauts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So 16 is the last time they won? 17, 18, 19, 20, 20. They've lost
years.
Five straight openers.
Something like that.
Five straight. I mean, yeah, I want to give it up to the Noles and tell you that we're, you know, the Noles are on the come. It's going to happen. They've lost freaking five straight openers. Unbelievable. Now, even during the great years with Bowden, they'd struggle early. I remember in 88, they got blown out by the Canes after they made that ridiculous rap video. 89 here, when Lord Favre beat them. Then they lost a week later to Clemson. Terry Allen ran for like 160 yards. I'm trying to think if there was any other early season blemishes during the great Bowden run from 87 to 2000. I don't think so. I think that was it. So you had a couple of years in a row where, you know, they struggled early on.
Isn't that amazing that you can, in like a 15-year period, you can remember like one game early in the season that they blew, and then like you haven't won a season opener since 2016 now.
I can tell
it's
you
insane.
I can tell you the big wins and the heartbreak losses from 87 to 2000. I can't tell you anything from 2000 on. I mean, Leon Searcy and I found a cigar bar in Akron, and we were talking. Matt Hayes joined us, and a bunch of us were, we were reflecting on really the
golden era.
Well, the story was, it was about bouncing back the next day. Obviously, we're all older now. But there was a period of time where, like in the 2000s, where all of those Florida State-Miami games were played at high noon. It didn't matter if it was in Tallahassee or if it was in Miami. And I was talking about my producers, DiGiacomo, and Dominic Shakiro. And on a Friday night, I mean, I'd be done at 2 a.m. Florida time, but 1 a.m. Chicago time. And one of my producers, we go to a Chicago bar until 4 a.m. Then he'd drop me off at O'Hare. And I'd fly at like a 6 a.m. flight to Miami and get picked up by a buddy for a noon game.
Go straight to the game.
So I was just thinking, you know, I was so mentally tough then that I could drink all night, maybe grab some winks on the plane, and then just continue with it the next, through a noon start.
God bless your 20s.
Yeah. Wow, so that was 30s.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I haven't hit that age yet where I
can't do that anymore.
I still can do whatever.
No. Nope.
Like, I pinch myself every time I wake up from a hard night of drinking and I'm not super hungover. I'm just like, I know it's not going to last forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that was impressive. I look back in that, I'm like, I can't believe I pulled that off. Scary. All right, let's bring in Adam Kaplan, NFL insider. He watched Jaguars practice today. I watched most of it with him and Dave Campo. Really enjoyed it. He's now visited 9 NFL teams. So let's get with Adam Kaplan. He's coming up next. Comments, best way to get us is on the text line, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. That number is 641-1010.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Now, another interview on the Farrah and Farrah phone line, brought to you by the accident attorneys at Farrah and Farrah.
All right, Adam Kaplan, always a lot of fun, insider with SiriusXM NFL Radio, also Fox Sports Radio, and wears a few other hats as well. He took in Jaguars practice earlier this morning. And Adam, first things first, man. Thanks for bringing the clouds. I thought I was still in Canton, Ohio this morning.
Rick, good to be with you. Yeah, but I picked a great day to be at practice where there's very little humidity. The 10, 12 years I've come to Jacksonville, I've never experienced a day like that. So it was really cool. I actually can't say it's the worst humidity in the country other than Houston. I can't say that today.
Yeah, pretty impressive sight. I mean, considering it's a high school stadium, what they did over there, it's impressive.
Yeah, I love Episcopal school over there. Yeah, it's great. You know, we know Mark Brunell was the coach there. And boy, the fields are fantastic, in great shape. No, I think it's a great spot for the players. It looks like it really does look like a real NFL practice field. And kudos to the Jags for getting this done.
You're based out of Philly. You know Doug Peterson very well. The first thing that I noticed with him going back to OTAs and minicamp, it's just how active he is. I mean, after every rep, he's saying something to someone on his team. I can't remember, maybe Gus Bradley a little bit, but I don't remember seeing that in a long, long time here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, well, it's particularly on offense, obviously, because he's calling the plays. It's his offense that they're installing. And when you look at Doug's career, he's a guy that connects incredibly well with players. You know, the players wind up loving him. There's no doubt about it. They loved him in Philly. In fact, he'd still be the head coach. Upper management had a disagreement over staffing, and Doug wanted what he wanted, and you know, he moved on. But this is a good spot for him. And the great thing is there's not going to be the pressure that you had in Philly to win, you know, immediately. Obviously, it's going to take a lot of time. This is what we call a rebuild. There's no doubt about it. And I know Jaguar fans are always patient. I give them that credit. Be patient again. But the nice thing is they've got a base of some good first round picks, some decent free agent signings, and we'll just see how they fit in.
Yeah, I love the entire offensive room. If you look at McCoy and Jim Bob Cooter and. Yep. Impress Taylor, and you know you got four former quarterbacks. So obviously Doug Peterson is going to call plays, and to me that's been really one of the major talking points of this season. Putting those four former quarterbacks in one room with Trevor Lawrence and designing this offense, and just the different opinions that can come in from all five of those guys.
Yeah, and at least three of them called plays before. You also have former head coach there. And McCoy, who will work with quarterbacks, and that's a smart thing by Peterson, and that will relieve the sort of the first year pressure in terms of having to do so much. It's always tough when you come in. Now, obviously, Doug's been a successful head coach before, but he knows from the first time around, handing it off was a great thing to Frank Reich and John DeFilippo, who developed Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, as you know, and even other quarterbacks around the league. So, yeah, this is a smart thing for Doug, and I'm interested to see what this offense looks like year one.
Adam Kaplan, our guest, NFL insider with SiriusXM NFL Radio, joining Rick Ballew here in the home of the Jags. Trevor Lawrence, so impressed with his mental makeup. He really could have gone sideways after last year with it being a disaster. What do you believe now in year two, getting with these coaches, they've added more talent? What do you see in year two for Trevor?
Yeah, it's a completely different offense. This is not a run-based offense. Peterson's a throwing guy. He believes in analytics. You know, he got that from Philly. Plus, you know, because James Robinson's clearly not ready, and they don't know when he's going to be ready as he works his way back from obviously a tough injury. We know it's going to be ETN's run anyway. And ETN's a passing down back. I mean, and obviously, when you do that with him, because he's not the biggest guy, you're going to run a lot of three-receiver sets, which we call – you know, the investments in Zay Jones, in Christian Kirk. Treadwell revived his career last year. Agnew was doing great before the injury. Chenault, they'll have to figure out something. So and obviously Ingram, who I'm told has looked really good, they're going to be a spread offense. This is what Doug ran in Philly for the first 2 years before they drafted Dallas Goedert. And I expect to see that. This will help Lawrence get acclimated. The quarterbacks generally love a spread. It'll help them. This is what you see in college football. But understand this. This is sort of a reboot for Lawrence. Everything that happened, let out. And now you're starting anew with a new coaching staff and new schemes and new coaches. And he'll take that experience, and obviously it wasn't great, but he'll take that experience and he'll learn from it, whatever happened last year, and he'll grow from it. He's a pretty tough kid, obviously very talented, former number one overall pick, and we'll see how he's developed.
You know, I've been very impressed with everything I've seen as far as scheme and route trees and everything that the personnel, offensive personnel, has done under Doug Peterson. Trevor Lawrence was nearly dead last year, 59.6% completion percentage. With the activity of the tight ends and ETN coming out of the backfield, I got to believe right there that it's dramatically going to go up because of those two positions. Honestly, a year ago, there was almost nothing with the tight end or running backs. Under Darrell Bevell.
Yeah, no doubt. When you look at what Peterson's going to bring in, this is a guy, you know, as a play caller in Philly, he used personnel pretty well. There's no doubt. Now, his scheme, the receivers are on what are called wide splits. They're generally out wider instead of tight splits. He'll use motion. Christian Kirk's going to line up at the Z position, but he won't be stationary. He'll be a move Z, which is typically what a Z is. And he's going to be very important to their offense. And this is Doug's guy. This is Doug wanted, and he got him. Obviously, 18 million years is a lot for a guy who's never really proven anything, but he's very talented. He's just been hurt a little bit. He's going to be fun. He's going to be a fun player to watch, Christian Kirk, no doubt about it. And talking to someone, a coach, Zay Jones, for Jaguar fans, he's a guy that could play every NFL receiver position, the Y, the X, and the Z. I don't know if he could play the F, but based on the way he was used with the Raiders, he probably could. Good football player who revived his career after a tough start with Buffalo. Kind of an underrated signing, pay him a little bit of money to be a backup, quite a bit to be a backup, but he's a good football player. The only question I have, Rick, on offense is the offensive line. To me, it's a major question mark as we go forward here.
Zay Jones, I thought, had his best practice so far in the 10 that we've been allowed to see a little bit earlier this morning. You know, let's get to the offensive line for a moment because, you know, I look back on Philly when Peterson was hired and he had one 1,000-yard receiver, and it was a tight end in Zach. Over his 5 years, he seemed like he had three different backs almost yearly in the rotation that happened there. But I keep getting reminded of just how dominant that offensive line was for Philadelphia when they won the Super Bowl. It is a huge question mark here. What do you believe? I mean, listen, Adam, you could have Fortner starting for the first time, Ty Shadley at left guard, who that's unfamiliar to him. And then if Walker Little wins the right tackle, you're talking about on opening day in D.C. starting three guys on the offensive line who have not played that position in the NFL.
And four new starters. I mean, that's a lot. And Brandon Scherff comes in, who's terrifically talented, but the problem is he's got a big injury history and he's just got to stay on the field. So, yeah, this does worry me a little bit because they invested a lot in the receiver position. They feel very solidified this year on it. They're good at tight end with Ingram and Arnold as flex tight ends. The one problem you have is the offensive line, and Walker Little, from my understanding, he's really taken to the right tackle position. We know Cam Robinson's their guy at left tackle, but other than that, I mean, the interior just – Shadley has been an unbelievable story as an undrafted free agent 14. I cannot believe he's been here 9 years. I mean, I think I've seen him every year last year.
Mm-hmm.
Quite the story, and I'm surprised Bartsch is I thought Bartsch would be a bigger factor. So, look, there are questions. There's no doubt. And you got to protect the quarterback. That's something that Peterson and Balky in 23 and beyond, they're going to have to invest in the interior of their offensive line. They know they have to do that.
I know a million things will happen until opening day, but Jacksonville goes to Washington, D.C. You visited with them. Yep. What did you know, and it was early. I don't even know if they were in pads for that matter.
They were on Saturday.
Okay. What did you see?
Well, it was a typical Carson Wentz practice. A lot of good, a lot of not so good. You know, obviously we know what happened. Awful game against the Jags. That not that he was going to come back anyway, but that solidified him not coming back, not being available during the week. And then you're playing against the Jags on that Sunday, and he was terrible for the Colts. Guy's got a lot of ability. He hasn't played super high football since 2018. 2018, he actually played pretty well. He was playing with a slight back fracture, believe it or not, with the Eagles. So his issue sometimes is mechanical. Some things have to get cleaned up, but he's still talented. It was interesting. It was not a design play. He actually, I saw him run, you know, Rick, after he had that surgery, the ACL, what's called the IT band, which is on the side of your leg and your hip, that was torn as well as the ACL, and it's taken him a while to get his leg right, but he actually looked pretty good moving.
Mm-hmm.
The issue for Washington is also their offensive line. It's not great. It's a average offensive line. Of course, Scherff left, but they've got some really good pass targets defensively. Other than Chase Young, pretty much everyone's back. They feel pretty good about it. The secondary will be good, not great. The thing for them last year, Rick, is they freelanced so much in the first half. Their defense was terrible. And Jack Del Rio is a good defensive coordinator. He got things going, and they finished the season well. They're going to be somewhere at 8 or 9 wins, most likely based on the talent level and Wentz's inconsistency. But look, they'll give the Jags they'll definitely give the Jags an issue. I'll say this much for the Jags: it's a winnable game.
Yeah,
absolutely winnable game.
Right, Chase Young won't play, and I tell you what, I hope they win that one, or Jaguar fans hope they do, because they got four of the first six on the road. You have the Colts coming here, then you go to L.A., and then you go to Philly, so that's going to be difficult to get things rolling. Hey, Adam, as we let you go, just a quick comment on Travis Etienne, and did anyone else stick out for you today, good or bad?
Yeah, and as Rick, you put on your Twitter, that you and I were there for that great catch, that great route. For the score. No, he looks great. In fact, I was told he was running back in February, so I kind of knew he was going to be ready to go. And that the Lisfranc injury is really could be bad, but as you know, it happened so early last year. Was it in August, I think? He was good to go earlier this year. And because they're going to be more of a spread offense, he definitely figures in. Boy, though, I know James Robinson is not ready, even close to being ready. I know they didn't put him on PUP, which is kind of a surprise. But whenever he's ready this season, they need him, because let's not forget, this guy's terrific in pass pro. He's a power back to ETN speed. That would be a good 1-2 compliment. And then we'll see with Snoop Connor what he can do.
Yep.
Who right now has got a chance to be the two early on here.
So you're not convinced that James Robinson will be available in early September?
I need to see it. I need to see, because he's not, you know, they're limiting yep. him, and he's got to get a little bit better shape here. Yep. It would be a surprise to me if he's a factor early on this season.
Hmm. Interesting. Adam, always a blast. Good to see you today, and I know we'll catch up during the season. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you.
There he goes, Adam Kaplan, NFL insider, SiriusXM NFL radio, and other things as well, joining us here on the Farrah and Farrah phone line. So that offensive line is huge. We were talking about it in Canton. I don't know if you remember who it was, but I guess someone ranked Jacksonville as the 32nd offensive line in the NFL. I mean, again, we just went through the process and the time, you know, when we're a month away from camp and a few weeks away from camp, where it seems like every entity out there ranks or gives you lists. But that, I think they want Ben Bartsch to win the left guard. I watched him today. I thought he looked better today in some one-on-one situations. It's nothing against Ty Shatley. I think they would like him to be a swing guy at either center or guard. I really do believe that I think they would like Ben Bartsch to win it. But just consider this, man. All right? Walker Little a year ago had three starts at left tackle. He's a left tackle by trade out of Stanford. Okay? He's playing right tackle. And Juwan Taylor did return today, and he was out there first, and they're rotating at the right tackle position. So Juwan Taylor could win that job. I think Walker Little is going to win that job. So he's going to be a first-time starter at right tackle. You just brought over Brandon Scherff, who's all pro. He's been at, what, 5 out of 7 years? He's solid. He's new, but he's solid. Luke Fortner, they absolutely love. He's a rookie. There's going to be some rookie blemishes. Now, he does know the center position well. But still, you look at that game at the Commanders on September 11th, you could have Shatley, Fortner, and Walker starting that day in the NFL for the very first time at that position. Yes, I realize Shatley has played at center. Yes, I do realize Walker Little has played at left tackle. But three. And then you add Scherff, that's four new offensive linemen. So I really like Phil Rauscher. I'm not completely sold in right now on their depth, especially in the interior. I wouldn't be surprised if they go waiver wire shopping there, maybe even at center. I don't think McDermott has had a good camp, but that's just my opinion. To me, it is still the biggest question mark on this football team. You have improved with skill guys. Trevor Lawrence is going to improve. It's the offensive line. That's number one for me. All right, your thoughts coming up. 641-1010. Get us on the text line. 641-1010. Anything you just heard Adam Kaplan and I talk about, anything on the Jaguars is good. Again, 641-1010. That is the way to get us on the text line, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's going to be a great week right here in Duval. Friday night, game number 2, Cleveland in town. Will Deshaun Watson play? I mean, he's out the first 6 games, maybe more. Roger Goodell does not have time to hear the appeal. Roger's a very busy man, so he has passed the buck on that one, which is really cowardly, in my opinion. Hey, Wednesday night, Monkey's Uncle Beach. I have a couple of tickets for the Pittsburgh game. Party sponsored by Miller Lite. Going to have great beer specials. Hope to see you out there. It's been, 11 months since we've been to Monkey's Uncle? So that'll be Wednesday night, 6 to 8. Thursday night, we get back to Mr. Chubby's on a regular basis. That'll be 6 to 8 on Thursday. So on the road twice this week, we certainly do look forward to seeing you out there. Let's go to Doug, because Adam Kaplan and I, we ended our conversation on the offensive line. Right now, there's not a Jaguar fan alive who would not agree with me. There are far more questions than answers on this team. All right? And it's a better roster. It is a far better coached team. It feels different. It looks different. And I really believe this team is moving forward. It's not going to happen overnight. To me, the biggest issue on this team is the offensive line. And you don't win in this league without a great quarterback. But you need an offensive line to protect your quarterback. I thought today was a really good day for Trevor Lawrence. He was 9 of 11 on 7 on 7. Overall, he was 18 of 27 today. If you combine 7 on 7s and 11 on 11s, in the defense, did a nice job. It kept them out of the end zone, particularly in red zone. I think it was one touchdown that I saw in red zone work today. But if you give Trevor Lawrence time, that is absolutely obviously going to help. And running fixes everything. If you run, it's unlimited what you can do. You have to be able to run the football. Has there been a playoff team the last 20 years that's had success without running? And I do understand that Tom Brady used his backs and the way he dumped those balls off to James White and Kevin Falk and J.R. Reb and all those guys, that it was basically he that was his way of running.
The Chiefs have tried their hardest.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, come on. Football one-on-one. Run the ball, and you can do anything. So the offensive line, to me, is the biggest question. Today, Doug Peterson was asked about the performance of Walker Little at right tackle.
I thought he played well. You know, he settled in right away. His run blocking, pass protection, I thought he was focused and dialed in, and really had a good first half and really good to see, because – he's in that sort of that battle with JT over there at the right side, and he did everything he could to put his best foot forward. The other night, did a nice job.
The 75-83 says Blue. Adam Kaplan stated we need to invest in the interior offensive line next year after we just handed out a big time contract to a guard and used a premium pick on a center. Feel like we did the investing already. We just need them to grow. Also don't agree with the long rebuild if Trevor is who he is supposed to be. It's a very good text. Here's my guess. The center is untested. Brandon Sheriff is outstanding, but he's injury prone. The left side right now is a major question. 9 years in the league, you're going with Shatley, who's practiced it, and he's done it in a pinch. But if you're ranking left guards in the NFL, where's Tyler Shatley going to come in? And I think they want Ben Bartsch to win that job. I mean, they got him out of what? They got him out of a freaking high school, for crying out loud. I mean, where did he go to school again? He went to St. John's in Minnesota. Okay. Hey, listen, I understand. You can find a Jerry Rice out of Mississippi Valley. You can find great football players out of obscure colleges. But it feels like the Gene Smith era again. I mean, what's up next? They're going to get a guy out of the Colorado School of Mines? I mean, this is unbelievable. So, yeah, Ben Bartsch, I think they want him to win it, but he hasn't taken it yet. So, yeah, I began the show basically bragging about Cam Robinson. I think he's had a fantastic camp. And I'll be the first to admit that when you get paid, I've seen guys get paid and go away. Julius Thomas is the best of them. Okay. I mean, I've seen it. And right now, it just feels like Cam Robinson still has a lot to prove. And that he would like to be the left tackle of the next 10 years around here. We'll see. I think it's a good point, though. Yeah, I mean, if it works for Fortner and it works for Sheriff, JJ?
The problem with those two is they're sort of on different timelines.
Yes.
Like, Sheriff, you're expecting his last team to be the Jags, basically. And Fortner's just getting started.
I'm just thinking of, like...
Walker Little just getting started.
I'm thinking of Zane Beatles. I'm thinking of Andrew Norwell. Now, Sheriff is better than those two. But I remember when Beatles came here, it was like, oh, this guy's going to mix some things up. Okay, he's fiery. He's got red hair. He's going to get after people. And I'm like, what? And then I remember Andrew Norwell. They're telling me that, the guy basically eats glass, that he's going to have a presence here unlike anything that we have seen, and I just never saw it. So I guess I've kind of tapered my expectations a little bit with Brandon Sheriff. I'm impressed with what I've seen. I mean, man, you look at some of the one-on-ones and the stuff he's doing. This is very impressive. But, they've paid a lot of money for a right guard. That's what he's playing, right guard. And I hope he can stay healthy. Because if you can get something out of Barch, I mean, to draft three of them, and I guess, Cam would be a fourth, who they've actually given a second contract to. Just how rare is that around here? I don't care who your general manager is. How many guys in this roster have signed second contracts? DeJuan Smoot? I guess Trey Herndon, right, is an undrafted free agent. Does that even count?
Shatley.
Shatley, another undrafted free agent? Is that it? I mean, it's amazing. But if you can tie in Ben Barch in his third year, and tie in Fortner as a rookie, and tie in Walker Little as a second-year guy, three guys that you drafted, yes, Cam you drafted as well, but you're paying a lot for Cam, you're paying a lot for Sheriff. If you can get that type of work out of three guys on rookie contracts and you're producing...
Quarterback on a rookie deal?
Hey!
Running back on a rookie deal?
Running backs on a rookie deals. Actually, four, if Rock makes it.
Buy a wide receiver, pay for a bunch of more guys on defense.
It allows you to do other things.
Exactly.
So that's the biggest question mark for me, that offensive line. And, I do. I'd rather sit him out against Atlanta, even though you got 2 weeks. I want to see him play here on Friday night. I do. I want to play him. I want to see the offense out there.
This is their second preseason.
Right.
So just disregard the last one, like you said. Act like it doesn't even exist. Don't play anybody worth a damn in that game. This should be where the starters at least play a series or something. And then the next one, I guess, what do they play, a half?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this Friday we should look forward to seeing all the starters.
69-53, Ballou, missed the first hour. How has Trevor Lawrence been? Sensational again today. I mean, he has been as good as you could possibly hope for. And the whole offense is showing signs. Again, I think the defense is ahead of the offense. I do. And I think that's probably the case for a lot of camps around the NFL. But I'm just seeing so much more evolve offensively. Today was the best practice I've ever seen Zay Jones have. I mean, that was electrifying today. Christian Kirk has been solid since day one. Unfortunately, he rolled his ankle. Will we see him Wednesday? I do not know. Marvin Jones Jr. had some cramps today. He came out, and Laviska Shenault was working on the side. You know who I'm going to actually talk with on Wednesday is Lawan Winningham, because he didn't get a lot of burn on Thursday night. Maybe he'll get more of an opportunity on Friday. But, always a conversation with wide receivers is who the six are, and there's no room for wiggle there. I talked with Willie Johnson, after his punt return, reverse, and he caught a couple of balls on Thursday night, And if you listen to the interview that I did with him, he was basically talking about laying tape for other NFL teams. It's almost like he knows that the six wide receivers are set here. The only shock would be if all of a sudden they just said, Treadwell just doesn't have the get up, you know, the giddy up in his get along, to steal a great term from the great Bobby Bowden, who died 1 year ago today. I don't think that's going to happen. Or they gave up on Laviska Shenault, who, again, was on the side today, not working with the team. I don't think they're going to do that either. But here I'm mentioning all these wide receivers, and you got Agnew coming back from a hip. You got Jones, who left with cramps. You've got Shenault on the side, and you've got Kirk, who rolled an ankle. So typically when you look at a position like this and say, you know, there's just not enough spots for these guys, I hate to say it, but attrition rears its ugly head. So I would not be surprised at all if you see that Lawan Winningham is involved, or you see that Jeff Cotton Jr. is involved. To me, those would be the two. Marvin Hall fumbled last week. They made cuts on August 16th from 1985. Hall may be on that book. You can't fumble the football. When you're trying to make a team, you can't do it. Kevin Austin Jr. made a really nice toe tap. You know, what do they call it? The toe drag swag, right? Very end of practice today, but he's been underwhelming. I don't think he's going to make it. So anyway, we'll see. But that is the latest there as far as what is happening offensively for the Jaguars. All right, more of your questions coming up. 641-1010 on the text line. Again, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. JJ with you. Rick Ballew with you. Hacker takes over tonight at 8 o'clock.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, the Noles are in town beginning tomorrow. It kind of snuck up on me. Make my way out there at some point this week. See what's going on with FSU. So there you go. The 8644 says, Ballew, I realize this won't be popular, but I think Cisco and Wingard are the answer at safety. I know they paid Jenkins. I know Dewey gets blasted around here, but honestly, he's solid in the box and playing nickel, yada, yada, yada. There's a new position for Muma. I actually like Wingard as the box safety more than Jenkins. Wingard had his best practice during training camp today. That much I'll give you. I don't need to see Andrew Wingard in pass defense. Okay, that is a big problem. They like Wingard. He's a four-core special teamer.
He knows the playbook, as you like to say.
I like to think that he's the fifth safety, but that's probably not the case. I think Rudy Ford has done some nice things. Cisco is off to a brilliance. I mean, he's been fantastic. Okay, I mean, this... I'm just looking at the future, and with Tyson Campbell and Andre Cisco, you could really have something with those two. But as far as the safety position is concerned, you know, it's arguably right there with the interior offensive line. It's arguably the weakest position group on this football team. Rayshon Jenkins is making a ton of money. I love Daniel Thomas, but if you were to go back to a year ago and rewind the tape, you would find that I was telling you last year that I love Daniel Thomas. I really want to see him. I'd love it if he was the third safety. And I'd love to see that the future of this team is Andre Cisco and Daniel Thomas. I don't know if that's going to be the case. You know, Rudy Ford was basically looked upon more as a special teams guy. But those are your five safeties. So, in my opinion, right now, I don't think an undrafted free agent makes the team. And if they go and bring in position players from the 31 other teams, when, you know, cuts are a little bit different this year. Last year, they went 90-53 this year. Again, on August 16th, they go from 90-85. Then the week after that, they go from 85-80. And then it gets carved down to 53. I think the two positions, outside of kicker, which is totally legit, even though Santoso had a good day today. He made 5 of 6. He was the last one to end practice. I think safety, and I think possibly interior offensive line. Those would be the two for me.
Did Rudy Ford play on Friday or Thursday?
Yes, I believe
nothing
he did.
Nothing struck out for you?
No.
Okay.
No. Let me double check that for you. Absolutely nothing stuck
the
out.
The second half of that game, just I was watching, but I wasn't really watching.
None of the safeties sat. Yeah, because they did start their entire contain. The only member of the secondary who did not play was Darius Williams, who's coming back from that injury. He'd been wearing a red jersey, which means no contact. Oh, God, I would like to see Devin Lloyd get back out there as well.
Out there at all?
Yeah, just not seeing it. But, you know, we're starting, you know, Fatakase. Someone's asked me, is Fatakase going to be the nose tackle? Well, I've only seen him work once. Okay, today, and it looked like a little bit of a rotation where he was both a defensive tackle and perhaps a nose tackle. But, you know, Devon Hamilton can play nose tackle and Malcolm Brown can play nose tackle. I think he's one of those guys that they feel he can do anything on the interior. And you've got all of a sudden, you know, some guys in this football team that they can do multiple things with. Arden Key, my last guest, Adam Kaplan, I had a long conversation with Adam Kaplan today about Arden Key. I mean, we all talk about the one-year show-me deal for Evan Engram. Kind of lost in all this is Arden Key. And if you go back and you watch his two sacks on Thursday night, they came from different spots. One was a brilliant stunt in the interior, and the other was off the edge. So you can line him all across your defensive front. Now, I really think that September 11th at DC, when they go to nickel, and let's say it's first quarter, 12:32 to go, first quarter, it's 3rd and 11. Okay. Trayvon Walker on one side, Josh Allen on the other, DeJuan Smoot inside, Arden Key inside. That is your defensive line with the opportunity to blitz some linebackers. You know, again, I was watching it with Adam Kaplan and Dave Campo. And Campo today was talking an awful lot, JJ, about how much they were moving Trayvon Walker around. And at one point, you know, he's like, look, they have Walker now at the left side. We've seen him primarily at the right. Then all of a sudden, the tight end on the very next play, the tight end, and I don't want to overdo it as far as scheme and things like that, because I like the fact that the Jaguars allow us to go out there and watch practice. So I don't want to blow it for me or for anyone else. But you saw Walker move down the line, left to right, right to left. We didn't see a lot of that early on in camp. We're starting to see more of that now. So I think this front.
That's like a positive or a negative towards how he's been playing?
It's positive.
Okay.
Absolutely, it's a positive. Because, you know, look around here. I mean, look at what they did with Taven Bryan. They had him playing different positions. His head was spinning. They haven't found a position for
K'Lavon
Chase on.
You know.
Yeah, K'Lavon Chase on. They never really found a position for him. They kept moving around Miles Jack. I mean, hell, even the first couple of practices, they didn't know if Jalen was going to be a safety or a corner. The former regime actually thought Jalen might have been a safety. Yeah, Jalen will be a safety in about 7 years, okay? If
the
he
last,
starts
like 3 years of
right,
his career.
He'll play the role of Rod Woodson. So I've always been one of those who believes that as well. Is, you know, talked to Chad Muma about it after the game on Thursday. Chad Muma in the first game is probably the one Jaguar where some people thought he did really well. A lot of other people thought that he stunk up the joint. Okay, I've had some people say, what a terrible draft pick. It's not going to work with Chad Muma. Well, if you watched him again today, he's all over the football field. He's a tackling machine. You know, the kid's a former safety. He also played at Wyoming, all right? You got to give this guy a little bit of time. I can't wait to see what Devin Lloyd is able to do. But I just think there's so much that you can do with these defensive guys. And, you know, I'm typically one of those, because of the examples of former players here that I just gave you, that I really think their head was spinning. They asked them to do too much as opposed to just go out and play football. You know, kind of simplify it, especially when you're a rookie. No, doesn't feel like that's the way it's going to go. Remember, Mike Caldwell now, learning under Todd Bowles, especially the last couple of years, passionate football fans understand that Tampa Bay, man, they never ran the same defense, it felt like. They were always moving guys around. And they got Pro Bowlers on that defense. Okay, this is a defense here where, you know, you are much younger. No question about it. Again, I think the defense right now is ahead of the offense. But it was a really good workout on a Monday. They're off tomorrow, unfortunately, back at it on Wednesday. So we will be out there. Tomorrow night, we're on after Helmets and Heels. Wednesday live from Monkey's Uncle at the beach, a party sponsored by Miller Lite. Thursday night, we're at Mr. Chubby's in Ponte Vedra. Thank you to Adam Kaplan of NFL Sirius Radio. Thank you to safety Rayshon Jenkins. Thank you to JJ. My name is Rick Ballew. Hackers up next. I don't check the text line. Get me on Twitter, Ballew 1010XL. Have a great night.